printed version tonight.
Is that different from what we have?
No, same version. Well, for the most part, it's the same version. I guess my iPad's over there. Oops. Yeah. Sorry about that.
But that looks funny. We all had our gloves on.
Yeah.
Dagger.
Yes, dagger. Can give it right here. Well, hopefully we'll get through this fairly quickly. So.
Yeah, Rosie, I noticed you added a few things since this was originally put out.
Yeah, to be a couple.
Yeah, I was looking at it today, I'm like, whoa.
I know, it's looked up the other day for a very minute.
That's Marcia's fault.
It's like kind of double the question.
Way to go, Marcia.
She warned us.
I have been a bit of a busy bee.
Yes. I bet you have.
Yes, she has. Okay, Rosie, we ready?
We're ready.
We're recording? Yes. Yes, we're recording?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It is 6 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Griffith.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on March 10th, 2020. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is in regards to the vacation of public way. Are we still doing that?
We're going to table that.
We're going to table that? Okay.
Yeah, there's been some situations arise with that as far as understanding what that area is going to be, how it is going to be drawn up and used. I think we, whenever there is a vacation, that we need to understand there's a proper procedure that needs to take place in order for it to be successful. This one was interesting. I know I spent considerable time on it. I think it needs to be, described as to who does the work as far as, is it the petitioner, is it the city, is it who comes up with that? Because the legal that was presented was not sufficient. Then once the design of what they were going to use the area four, they found that with some of the codes that needed to be followed was not going to be to their benefit. So there was a lot of things that need to be thought out prior to this. In this situation, every situation is different.
Sure.
I understand that, but
sure.
This one, I just spoke with the church's representative. At about 4 o'clock, and they said, "Hey, maybe we better relook at this. It's even worthy of being vacated."
Okay.
Because they weren't able to try to accomplish what their goals were at that point in time. So, you know, the cart kind of got before the horse on this one, and so this is why we need to table it so they can have a better understanding of what they want to do with it.
Okay, then we will consider the petition to vacate the alley for 308 through 310 South Chauncey Street as being tabled, including ordinance 2020-11.
Just a side note on that.
Yes.
I am working on typing up it got sidelined because of all this process that people have to go online and see what they have to do. Because one of the things that I was telling Dan, you know, this isn't my responsibility to come up with legal descriptions and everything else. It should be theirs, and they need to understand. So, anyway, I should have, I don't know when I'll get it around, but it'll probably be next week I'll have it around. I'll probably send it to to Dan just to look over before it goes out to everyone,
sure.
just because a lot of it comes through your department. But I am working on that because that we need something to get a better process.
Well, and then there's procedures that once it gets vacated, understanding who gets what property, and then it becomes a parcel. Because anytime, usually our rules are wherever there's a change in shape of a parcel, a survey needs to be brought forth also. There are some allowances here, but and that usually goes through our planning director. So, you know, there isn't too many allowances, but, you know, there are some things that can be looked at.
And part of the problem is that, you know, in the court systems, there are some things that you have to have an attorney. I'm not saying we have to do that here, but I'm not their attorney. And it's important that they get their own legal counsel to help them through the process. Because all I'm doing is, here's a petition, and here we go. And that's why I'm like, we have got to get a better process.
Right.
And I don't know that that might include requiring them to be represented. But I'm not. That wasn't in my steps yet. But it is something we've got to figure this out, because we've had a number of these, and they've become headaches.
Exactly, because I shouldn't have to draw up the legal description.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have to draw up something to give to you that you're like, yeah, this doesn't work, because it's not for us. It shouldn't be our process. It should be them getting a survey and getting legals from a surveyor and having that presented to us. But anyway, yeah. not to belabor that, but I did want you all to know I am working on that.
Great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, everybody. Next up is ordinance number 2020-9. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2020-9 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-9, an ordinance amending Chapter 53, General Provisions of Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
So this is the second reading of this ordinance regarding trash. This is, again, a kind of a responsive way in which we can try to enforce individuals bringing outside junk in for junk days, as well as obviously encouraging individuals not to allow people to bring junk in to try to keep our costs down for our residents, as we've mentioned previously. Just as a side note for your information, we did get a notification from our trash company yesterday that going to only be picking up what's in the dumpster or in the tote. So even the blue bags that we used to sell, right now we put a pause on that because they're not picking those up. They've also notified everybody, all the cities that they service, that they won't be doing a spring junk pickup, or they won't be doing it at least for the near future. So I guess in some ways it works out that we're doing a fall. Not intentional, but I guess it works out in some ways that way. But I just want to kind of let you know about that and some of the changes that are happening there. So any questions, comments, concerns about the trash ordinance as it's written? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Tad. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is ordinance number 2020-10. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2020-10 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-10, an ordinance amending Chapter 93, Fair Housing of the Code of Ordinances, City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Marcia.
This is the one where the state rules have changed slightly. So I went through and updated our fair housing ordinance to match up with that. And I did not run this through ordinance committee just because it was state law and I wanted to make sure I just got it done. It wasn't really a discussion matter.
Yep.
So I've just put in here things to update it to state law.
And as a reminder, anytime we go to get a federal grant, they ask us to show that we have our fair housing ordinance updated, et cetera. So with that, any questions about it?
Marcia, are there any particular things you want to know?
Well, one of the things you're going to see a lot of is the change from handicap to, I believe, disabled.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the changes.
A lot of terminology.
A lot of the terminology actually has to do with that, piece of it. Let's see if there's anything else in there that would be.
Oh, I see. There's a typographical error.
Uh-oh.
Noting to nothing. No, you outlined it there.
Oh. That was in our prior one.
Yep.
Let's see. What I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would really want to throw out there, but that's really the main thing. So much of it is updating because of that very specific issue.
Other questions for Marcia?
I was just going to ask, do we have to do this two readings or because it's part of the state?
So
no, there's no emergency. That passed like in 17. I've been a little slow getting around this.
So maybe let me take that question a little further. So the question is can we pass it on first reading tonight, and then if we don't have another council meeting for a while, is that still okay? And then at the next meeting, we'll potentially pass it?
Yes, there's no. I just wanted to get it
updated.
Let's not declare an emergency.
This is not an emergency.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because we got enough emergency.
We do.
I had this coming. This was on the agenda before all this started happening.
She's only worked on two other resolutions and three other, or whatever it is. I mean, she's worked on lots of other documents for us this week. So, other questions, comments, concerns regarding ordinance number 2020-10? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Ted. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at another meeting at some point. Next up is resolution number 2020-13. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read resolution number 2020-13 by title only. Sorry, am I going too fast?
No. Resolution 2020-13, before the Common Council for the City of Columbia City, State of Indiana, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Columbia City, amending ordinance 2019-19, the 2020 salary ordinance for appointed officers and employees for all departments of the city.
So Marcia put this together. The majority of the resolutions you're going to see tonight regarding the emergency is in order to make sure that we have the proper documentation for State Board of Accounts and to make sure that we kind of all have the same understanding of what's happening. So what we have done for water, wastewater, street sewer, park, and electric is we have split the shifts in half or split the departments in half, and they are doing 3 10-hour days for the first shift, and then the next 3 days, 3 10-hour shifts. So shift A will go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The next shift will go Thursday, Friday, Monday, and so they kind of keep rotating. Cleaning is happening at the beginning and end of every shift. And so that's 30 of their 40 hours. The other 10 hours, they're on call. And so that creates that scenario where if we do have an outage, we have the ability to respond to that. And depending on when people are on call, depends on who's taking care of weekend things and all that kind of stuff. So we've tried to make it so that if for some reason one of the departments does come down with COVID-19, then at least we've kind of shielded the other half of the department to ensure that we're continuing service for our residents. As you know, for police, fire, and dispatch, they are already kind of split. We've done more of that, meaning that there is nobody going into the fire department except for firefighters. There's nobody going into dispatch except for dispatchers. Obviously, you know, here's the deal. At the end of the day, the police still have to go out and patrol, but obviously choosing the appropriate time and the way in which they're doing that. Going back to the fire department, they have put some protocols in place so that, first of all, the dispatchers will ask certain questions of the caller if it's an emergency medical call. And then they'll respond appropriately based on those questions. Usually it's one person going in and checking out the situation first, and then if they believe there's not a fear of there's not a COVID-19 potential there, the rest of the crew comes in and helps. Obviously, we're also trying to limit how many runs they actually do. When they come in after a run, you know, they take the proper precautions with their clothing and their outfits and things like that. Obviously, PPE, all of that stuff. So I just want you to know that we've taken a lot of steps to try to protect our workers, number one, but number two, to be able to continue providing the service that we need to provide to our residents, whether it's utility or public safety services. I'll tell you here at City Hall, Rosie and I have had some, we've kind of doing some different things here in my office because my assistant and I are very separated and because obviously city government as a whole is still an essential service, we're keeping our distance, if you will. Beth works by herself. She's by herself. Terry's by himself. So, and I know Rosie's been putting in some scenarios to try to keep people away from each other in the utility office as well. So, I say all that to say, we're trying to do everything we can do as an organization to protect our employees, to continue providing great customer service, and also, you know, just to try to put some things in place to ensure that if for some reason somebody or a group of people come down with COVID-19, then hopefully it's not a widespread thing. Okay. So what this ordinance discusses, obviously, is really the kind of the stay-at-home or on-call type pay. So it changes the formula a little bit. Again, this is a temporary thing. It is only during the state of emergency. We're hoping that this doesn't last for a super long time. But this does give us effectively the ability to do that, put it and codify it, if you will, or not codify it, put it into our salary ordinance. Sorry, that was a lot of information. I apologize.
I do want to say that I had voiced some concerns to you earlier this week about some of these matters, and so I'm really glad to hear that we have a lot of plans in place to look out for the health and safety of our city employees, because they are important, and also for their families.
Absolutely.
So I think that allays a certain amount of confidence in the city to be able to carry out the necessary duties that we have here and hopefully do them in a safe way.
Appreciate that. Other questions regarding this resolution? Okay, then hearing none, can I have a motion to approve resolution number 2020-13 on first and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Marcia, I don't know how you want to do the executive order, if you do want to do the executive order.
I'm trying to find it in all my papers. What did we do on that?
That's regarding the requiring certain employees to work remotely, or
is that the declaration of local emergency?
This one here.
Is it in here?
Number 14.
Oh yeah. Okay. This one, yes, that's exactly what this one is. The ability of setting up at-home work. They're considered on-call during the workday, but giving employees the ability to work at home as long as they can function at home and still perform their city functions.
And for that note, I will tell you that for like our city engineer who has remote access, we have already kind of started that, and we've already... with like our GIS individual, we've started. I don't know if he's doing it yet, but we're setting him up to be able to do that. So those individuals that are typically working from a computer station, obviously, if we can have them work from home or at least isolate them, that's what we want to do. The executive order doesn't need to be approved by council though, because it's my executive order, right?
Right. That's why I forgot about this one.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay, that's okay. So, kind of already ordered
it. But good to, I mean, I think it's good to have the discussion.
Sure, sure, no, no, no. That's,
so that's the discussion point.
So, you know, we signed that executive order, I guess, after this meeting. So, okay, we'll move on to resolution number 2020-15. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ted, seconded by Dan. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read resolution number 2020-15 by title only.
Before the Common Council of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, a resolution waiving certain procedures and formalities during disaster emergency pursuant to IC 10-14-3-17.
Marcia?
Okay, this, I believe, is the sister resolution to what the Board of Works already did earlier today. Okay, so this is sort of the Common Council version of your functions, whereas the Board of Works already passed one for public works, contracts, and those types of things, all the things that the Board of Works handles. So again, emergency matters having to do with claims procedures, and it's more than just claims, if I recall. Let's see. Well, that's a lot of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mainly the claims procedures for council and the approval of those. Again, it has all the terms that it'll be null and void at the end of the emergency. So trying to just get us through this portion with these emergency declarations. Yeah. So
as I mentioned to the Board of Works, obviously, if we can, you know, if we need to and if we can have meetings, I want to do that, whether that's through, you know, phone or video or whatever we're able to do. But I think in kind of this kind of weird time where we're all trying to stay away from one another, and based on the advice of obviously our city attorney and seeing what other cities are doing across the state in order to kind of handle these day-to-day type things, definitely with the claims, especially for Rosie's purposes, I think that's the, you know, the purpose, if you will. Questions about resolution number 2020-15? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve on first and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Dan. For the discussion or questions, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is the extension of the declaration of local emergency. Does this have a resolution number?
Well, I don't have a title on it. Why, I don't know.
Okay.
So probably should put a number on that. But so this is what I prepared for the mayor last week to, you know, declare the emergency, which he has the right to do for 7 days. And after the 7 days, the council needs to extend that. The mayor then amended that to include the parks. And not just the buildings, but his declaration regarding the park systems. And so that is what we would be looking for tonight for that extension beyond that 7 days.
Yeah, so I think what's important to note about that is obviously we don't know when this is going to end. And I think it's important to have the flexibility, obviously, to continue providing the service or make the changes that we need or whatever the case is. Obviously, my executive order at the start was to, well, it says that, obviously to restrict access to our public buildings and basically do by appointment only, and that includes public restrooms. We close those. The closure of all parks except for the Blue River Trail that we're keeping open, that we are planning to we have canceled effectively all the public type meetings, the city public meetings, so Redevelopment Commission, Housing Authority, Park Board, etc. All of those meetings effectively have been canceled except for Boarding Council. To be able to, you know, obviously make adjustments as we need to for public safety purposes, provide open door law opportunities like Facebook Live here, and obviously to allow our police department to be able to enforce enforce that. So this resolution, so again, as Marcia said, I can do it for 7 days, but I need your approval to go longer than that. So so I respectfully request your extension for an indefinite period of time. And certainly once this thing clears up, then the sooner I can get rid of this thing, the better. The sooner we can get rid of the emergency declaration, get things back to normal. I know our residents are, you know, starting to, every time it gets a little warm, they start to itch about getting ready, you know, wanting to get into the parks, wanting to play baseball, softball, wanting to, I'm so sorry about your season, by the way. I just felt awful about that. But at the end of the day, just try to make sure that that we do the right thing for our residents. So I would respectfully request that. Questions regarding, we're going to call it Resolution 2020-16. So I think we need to read it first. I apologize. I just realized that. Is that what you got?
It needs to be 17.
Oh, 17?
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. Okay. Okay, so I've gotten train ahead of the track here. Can I have a motion to read Resolution 2020-17 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read resolution number 2020-17 by title only.
Resolution 2020-17, City of Columbia City, Indiana, Common Council's extension of declaration of local emergency.
Questions? I'm sorry, I got the train ahead of track.
The question that I have is, you said initially it's for a block of 7 days. Is that
my initial emergency declaration is 7 days.
That's all he can do by law.
What's that?
That's all he can do by law.
Okay. I can only do 7 days.
But beyond that, is it in 7 day increments or
No. It's just that the mayor himself can only declare unilaterally a 7 day emergency, and then the council can step in and take it further than that. So I have it terminating when the emergency is elapsed.
And is that decided by the mayor? That was my question.
Yep.
Well, I've got the council actually making.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The last line says this order shall expire upon termination of such order by the mayor.
I apologize. I don't have the one I changed.
Yeah. Oh, I think that was for flexibility's
sake.
Sorry.
So we changed that to mayor.
But I think the idea behind it was for flexibility's sake that once it's over, I can terminate it, and we don't have to wait for the next council.
I'm sorry. I'm reading off of these, not off my computer, and I did make some changes to these.
Any other questions I can try to answer? Please know, as I said to the Board of Works, I'm going to do everything I can do to limit the amount of things that we do without your approval and without Board of Works approval. This is not not something that I'm going to just wield willy-nilly. Again, I think the things that are outlined here are really important to keep the protection of public health for our citizens. So. Any other questions? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve resolution number 2020-17 on first and final reading?
So moved.
Okay, I'll grant motion to Jennifer, seconded to Jenny. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, what else? We don't have department head reports, but you did see, I think at the end of your packet there, you can see where...
a note from Rosie?
Yeah, there was a note from Rosie there about what we're doing regarding utility bills. Rosie, do you want to...
Oh, yes.
And just talk to
There was an order come down that we are not allowed to disconnect people's utilities, and recommending not charging penalties. So I've put into force that until June 1st, we will not be disconnecting people's bills or penalizing them for being late, and then reevaluate it as of June 1st. But because this is in our rates, I felt like I needed the council's approval to do that as far as the penalties. So I'm asking for your blessing on this.
So would you explain the process? So if somebody comes in
And let's say there's a penalty. We're not going to charge him that penalty.
Right.
Is there a portion of that bill that could be paid? Let me know.
Yeah. We're going to allow people to come in and pay their bills. If somebody is in a hardship because of the this epidemic, they can come in or they can pay what they can. But if they don't get it paid, I'm not going to be checking this that often. But if they can't pay it, then they have until June 1st, unless we extend it. But it's due on the 20th, and normally if that's not paid on the 20th, they get a penalty. So that's what we're waiving, the 20th of each month, so for April, May, and then in June 1st, we'll reevaluate that.
But they will still get a monthly bill?
They will continue to get their bills, okay. Which it'll add up. So that's why we want to encourage people to pay their bills if they can. But they're not getting penalized if they can.
Correct.
And we will not be disconnecting their services.
So I think that's a really critical thing for the public to understand, is that this doesn't mean that they don't have to pay their bills. What this means is that if you have a hardship of some sort, that if you pay late, you're not going to get those late penalties, if you will.
And you're not going to be shut off.
And you're not going to be shut off, yes. I mean, at the end of the day, though, you know, if you don't pay for a month or two, guess what? You're going to have a huge bill for basically 3 months worth of usage. So pay your bills as you certainly can. We want to be respectful of that. We want to also be respectful that individuals, that this is a tough time for individuals right now, especially those in the service industry and others. But at the end of the day, we still are buying electricity that we're selling to our customers. We're still producing drinkable, clean water. We're still processing what they flush down the toilet. So, you know, the city is still incurring costs in our utility, but this is one way in which we can help individuals, hopefully maybe bridge a gap a little bit there, and certainly help get through this challenging time.
And we do encourage people, if they have any questions, that they can, there's someone in our office every day, hopefully for now.
Work days.
Yes, work
weekdays,
days.
Yeah.
7:30 to 4, and that they just call our office if they have any questions.
Yep.
And it's pretty well spelled out in the front lobby.
And I do want to commend Rosie and the gals in the utility office for the way in which they work with people of, you know, trying to, you know, if someone has a hardship, you'll work with them to try to create a payment plan and things like that. So I do understand that, you know, our utilities are not cheap by any means, but at the same time, I do appreciate the fact that our utility office works with people, so. So do you want to vote on that, vote of approval?
Yeah, I would like for you to
okay.
approve it.
So, demotion, let's try this again. Do I have a motion to approve Rosie's waiving of penalties as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for the council? Marcia.
Just, I know it's overwhelming and a lot came in front of you on a very quick, but, you know, that notice the city's doing its best to be responsible and reasonable with all of this, and I hope our citizens understand and are responsible themselves. We've got to flatten the curve to make sure we don't have our health care system overwhelmed. So these measures, while a lot of them are obviously just to do that, and please, oh please, thank your healthcare workers and those people in the utilities here at the city and every place else too that are still working hard to keep things functioning.
That's great. Thank you. Rosie.
I don't have anything right now.
Walter.
No.
Couple of things for your information. Obviously, just about everything shut down at this point from a meeting standpoint. We are still doing some appointments only, although most of them are over the phone. In fact, I'd say the vast majority of them are over the phone in my office. Our department heads are trying to stay separated from half of their department as well. That even goes to the department head. But they are expected to work full normal hours, if you will, or figure out a way to work those hours. So they are still accessible and available to you by phone if you'd like, or certainly by email, or you can ask me. We are, obviously, we're trying everything we can do to try to stop the spread here at the city level. We obviously double and triple the amount of cleaning. I can't imagine how much bleach and stuff Linda has gone through here at City Hall over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. But we are trying to do everything we can do in regards to that. As always, if you have any questions of me, thank you, by the way, for reaching out. If you have any questions of me, please feel free to shoot me a text or an email or certainly a Facebook message or whatever. Just be happy to try to answer those. I'm answering them all the time for our citizens anyway, so I'd be happy to do that for you. Dan?
I have nothing to say.
Jennifer.
Just want to commend the city for the efforts that they're taking to take this seriously, and also know that the citizens of Columbia City, you're in our thoughts as well as we go through this.
Yep.
Hopefully everybody's making good decisions and trying their best to stay home whenever possible.
Absolutely.
And knowing that important things are being taken care of on their behalf.
Great. Thank you. Ted?
Last week I had a meeting with Mark Green and Amy and a couple other people regarding starting on the fundraising and financing for the park expansion. And we have a conference call Thursday morning regarding that to discuss that in a little more detail. So I just wanted you guys to be aware that, you know, we're actively trying to, you know, find avenues to come up with the, you know, regardless of how much it is at any given time, just starting that process now. So,
thank you. Jay?
Nothing.
Okay, last thing, and I forgot to mention it. We've gotten some calls about this. So I just want to make sure it's really clear. After the governor's executive order, I have been having some conversations, obviously, with our police chief as to how this whole thing works with keeping people home, et cetera. I think there's a lot of people who feel like they have to have a paper of some sort. I will tell you we're not checking papers, but what I will tell you is the point of the executive order was for people to stay home, to not have parties, to not have social gatherings. This is not a snow day. This is not a vacation. This is a way in which to try to slow the spread, and so I only say that to say if you get questions, just know that we're not requiring papers to be presented on behalf of their companies. Obviously, as you well know, there's a lot of industries that were covered in that executive order, a few that weren't, but there were a lot of that were kind of covered in that. There were also a lot of exemptions in regards to obviously going to the grocery store, taking care of loved ones, even getting out and walking the trails, things like that. So I just maybe want to assure people that we're not out looking to try to bust people for being out, but I will tell you it is very clear that the more people stay home, the better it is for all of our population, and hopefully the more people take heed of that, the quicker we'll be able to get back to normal life. So with that, I think we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.